Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
The first COVID-19 case in Pennsylvania was March 6, 2020. On March 13th, Governor Wolf announced that all schools in PA would be closed for 2 weeks. On that same day, President Trump declared a national emergency due to the pandemic. From there, it was downhill. By March 17th, the PA Turnpike had restricted access to all service plazas. The Pittsburgh Marathon had been canceled. By March 19th, all quote-unquote non-life-sustaining businesses in PA were closed at their physical locations. Bars and restaurants were closed. On March 23rd, Governor Wolf extended the school closures. Churches, schools, public libraries, restaurants for in-person dining, non-life-sustaining businesses remained closed for months and months, and just now becoming to be halfway normal, at least here in northwestern PA. But this whole thing continued, and to some extent does still continue, with CDC and Dr. Anthony Fauci saying there's more coming. But was this all necessary, or did it, as President Trump feared, cause more harm than was necessary? Today, we're going to take a look at COVID-19 from the perspective of a doctor who's been in practice for a number of years. And Dr. Frank Simon is the director of the AFA of Kentucky, which is based in Louisville. Thanks, Dr. Simon, for being with us.
Thank you, Diane.
Now, COVID-19, novel coronavirus. What were your first thoughts when you heard of that?
Well, I would probably say I was thinking it was just a variation of the flu. But of course, things have gotten worse and worse, and I don't really know what happened to the flu that seems to be pushed under the rug or something.
Right, absolutely, because the numbers were definitely off when it came to the number of flu cases. As I kept my coronavirus diary. And that's how I knew the exact dates of what was happening here in PA and to some extent across the country. And I noticed also in 2020 and even 2021, the number of flu cases were down, way, way down. So I always wondered whether they were confusing the flu cases with the coronavirus just to jack up those numbers. And in my book, it was used to instill fear in the American people as they kept trying to control us, so to speak.
Yeah.
We've had other pandemics such as a bird flu, swine flu, and Ebola, but we never responded in the same way. Why do you think the government and the media responded in the way that they did, and the CDC and the FDA and all that? Do you have any ideas to why they responded in the way that they did when it came to COVID-19?
Well, I have some ideas. There's a lot of confusion and uncertainty about this whole thing. I could tell you some things like, there is a treatment for COVID. It's called ivermectin.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be very effective and very safe. Well, the governor of our state put out a notice to what he called the pharmacy board and told all the pharmacists not to fill any prescription for ivermectin. Well,
in Kentucky is not the only state. Yeah, and Kentucky is not the only state where the governors did that too.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I called a pharmacist that said he wouldn't fill a prescription, and I asked him why he wasn't going to fill it. And he said, well, if I filled that prescription for ivermectin, the pharmacy board would take away my license.
So
that's what he said.
So the licensing boards for the pharmaceutical companies are enforcing what the governor, of Kentucky said about banning.
Yeah, and there's more to this story. Then the other thing is, if you went to a doctor in Louisville area and probably lots of other areas and had a positive test for COVID, the doctor would not give you ivermectin.
Mm.
And so I had a friend who was a doctor for a hospital group. There are three in Louisville, Baptist, Norton, and University of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy worked for Norton. So I asked him, well, how come you're not prescribing ivermectin? And he just hummed and hawed. Mm. Okay. Finally, he said, well, we're not sure it's really working that well. So, but of course, the frontline doctors have put out papers about how well it works, and it works very well, and it's very safe. So that is a bogus argument. Mm-hmm.
The media is trying to paint it as the horse dewormer, and that's how they describe ivermectin.
Yeah. Well, of course, it does do that, but it also goes a long way to getting rid of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So there's a huge number of prospective double-blind studies which showed that it was very effective and worked very well, which is the most convincing type of study.
Mm.
So, you know, there just was no reason why they should. But here, the main hospitals in Louisville and Jefferson County were shutting, would not allow their doctors to prescribe ivermectin for COVID. So, or they discouraged them. Some of, basically, they would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another absurd thing.
Right.
So the doctors and the drugstores, now the hospital. If you got COVID and went into a hospital, guess what? The hospital would not give you ivermectin either.
Yeah, and I've heard, I've read that there was a, and I guess continues, a financial incentive for hospitals to first have positive COVID tests, and they get more money if the patient is admitted to the hospital, and then even more money if the patient is put on a ventilator.
Yeah.
That's not right.
No, no. And, well, you know, every hospital and every doctor that has a hospital patient gets paid according to their diagnosis. That's been going on for years.
Okay, that's not something new. Okay.
It's not something new, but it's not right. Like if you have a heart attack and go in the hospital, and well, what Medicare is going to pay you depends on that diagnosis.
Wow.
Like if you have a heart attack or pneumonia or a broken leg or a hip replacement, or your diagnosis determines what Medicare is going to pay the hospital and what Medicare is going to pay the doctor, and that's just the way it's been for years and years. But now, all of a sudden, they're saying, well, if you have COVID and you die with COVID in the hospital and on, well, they're going to, the Medicare is going to pay you even more money.
Mm.
So that's not a good thing. Now,
that's for sure.
Thing, there was a medicine called...
I know President Trump mentioned hydroxychloroquine. I think that's what President Trump mentioned.
Now, the other thing is there was a medicine called IV monoclonal antibody.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
Now, that was like a miracle drug. It worked very well. They were giving it all the hospitals in this area. And when they found out how well it worked, maybe I'm reading between the lines, but they censored it.
Yeah.
They wouldn't let you have it anymore.
Yeah, that's the same thing here. Same thing here. It was available here, and now it is no longer available. I know that Florida Governor DeSantis was using it extensively in Florida, and then Biden cut their source. And since then, it's expanded to where it's no longer available, which that makes me, and I think a lot of other Americans, wonder just what, just why? You know, why?
That's exactly right. So you got four things. Number one, the drugstores won't give you the good medicine that helps COVID a lot. The hospital associations won't let their doctors prescribe the good medicine, and the hospitals won't prescribe the good medicine. And the other medicine that works real good, the IV infusion, monoclonal antibody infusion, they cut that out.
Yeah.
Now, what's going on?
Good question.
It sounds to me, well, you know, I just go ahead and call a spade a spade. The hospital and the big shots in America are trying to make this epidemic as big as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And as many people die as possible.
Yep.
And that's the obvious conclusion.
Yep.
The drugstores won't give it. The doctors won't give it. The hospitals won't give it. And the other good medicine that works real well, they won't give that either.
Right, exactly.
Another conclusion. And you come up with,
well, that's a logical conclusion. I mean, just the common sense should say that, but so many people in America no longer have common sense, or they're unwilling to question the authorities, you know, the government, FDA, CDC, and good old Anthony Fauci. You know, and I always question the timing. March of 2020, right before an election, a presidential election. And so many laws were changed, even here in Pennsylvania, where they legalized no-excuse mail-in ballots, which are clearly unconstitutional. But that's a whole different, you know, whole different avenue that we're not going to go down today. But my concern has always been that they used and they continue using this pandemic for political purposes.
And the people that should be helping the patients, were not helping the doctors, the pharmacists, the hospitals. They were not doing what they were expected to do.
Exactly. And too many times I've heard of folks who, you know, they tested positive for COVID. And in some cases, they had not been feeling well for weeks and been tested numerous times for COVID. And each time it came up negative till the last time it was positive. And at that point, it's too late. Because my understanding is it's the first few days of a COVID infection where you need to be treated. And so many times doctors just sent patients home, even with a positive diagnosis, they were sent home and, you know, come back when you feel worse or whatever.
They told them, listen, you've got COVID, go home. And if you turn blue or start to turn blue, come back.
Come back, yeah.
Well, what kind of talk is that? That's craziness.
Exactly. And didn't you have COVID?
I sure did. Mm-hmm. I was in the hospital 1 week.
Wow.
But thank the good Lord, I completely got over it, and I'm doing well now.
Yeah, good. Because as you mentioned, there's a lot who never did leave the hospital alive. Yeah, for sure. Now, do you think this whole thing, the whole pandemic, and the lack of helpful responses from the doctors, from the medical field, do you think that has caused a rift between the patient and the doctor? Do patients no longer trust the doctors?
Yeah.
You've seen that.
I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the patients come in here and I say, well, if your oxygen drops anymore, you might have to go to the hospital. Oh, no, I don't want to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We made mistakes in the beginning because the ventilators, they actually did damage. Mm-hmm. They were bad.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody's oxygen gets real low and you try to give them nasal oxygen, that'll be good for a while. But if it gets really low, then you have to put them on a ventilator. Well, we didn't realize that that ventilator had a lot of side effects to it. So you're better off to stay off the ventilator if at all possible. And, you know, we found out that prednisone does a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
So we, you know, the medical profession that was even trying to do the best it could made mistakes initially, and now they're hopefully doing better.
Yeah, hopefully so, but the rift has been created, the lack of trust has been created through this whole thing, because the experts like Anthony Fauci, and I always wonder, when was the last time he saw a real patient in a, you know, in a doctor's office? Unlike you, who are still seeing patients and such, but, you know, it's concerning that many Americans no longer feel that they can trust the medical profession because of what's happened in the last 2 years. And in many cases, can't even trust. You know, the government has been so overbearing, especially in the last year with a new administration in Washington. But in the case of us with a Democratic governor, and you guys have a Democrat too, don't you? In Kentucky?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they were overreaching, especially in states with Democratic governors, there were overreaching mandates, which has just been an uproar the last 2 years among the citizens and has caused damage to school children who've been banned from classes.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah. So there will be a long-term effect on America with this whole COVID-19 pandemic. It's not just physical effects either. It's psychological and fear in some cases, especially for kids. Now, how do you think, I know you said you know, and I agree, there was a learning process through this whole thing because it was a novel coronavirus. But do you think we reacted in the right way, in a correct manner, when we first started hearing about things happening in Italy. That was a big epicenter there. But do you think the U.S. responded correctly in shutting things down, you know, social distancing? Did that help? Did wearing cloth masks, which is what most Americans wore?
I think that was the mistake in retrospect. Shutting down the whole economy really helped that much, and it caused a lot of problems.
And continues.
In retrospect, I would say we did the wrong thing. Of course, that was the government. You know, the government is a mixed bag. Some government is on our side, maybe, and some of the government is against.
Exactly.
So I think they did the wrong thing by shutting down the economy.
What's your view on the cloth mask that, again, that most Americans wore?
I'm not so sure that that's a good thing. I don't wear them myself unless I'm going to a grocery store and they say, oh, you got to have a mask. Well, then I'll put it on. But I don't have much confidence in these cloth masks.
Yeah. I never wore one. I figured if they didn't want my money, I was just going to leave. If they're going to make me wear a mask.
That's right.
In most cases, I just, like at Walmart, they said, you know, ask if I have a mask. I said, no, thank you, and kept walking. So figured, you know, I got away with it. But again, we're pushing the mask. I mean, you know, Anthony Fauci got to the point where we may have to put double mask, we may have to triple mask and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, how are you going to breathe? How are you going to breathe? Now we have the vaccine. Yeah, now the vaccine mandates, and I have a lot of questions about the vaccine, just the safety of the vaccines. What are your thoughts on the safety of the COVID vaccines?
Well, you know, I was just reading here on the website. It's called VARS. Let's see now.
Okay.
AERS, which stands for Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Mm-hmm.
And they have reported over 1 million adverse reactions. And, you know.
Is that just in the U.S.? Is that just in the U.S.?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is put out by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. And now, in the past, if they had 100 adverse reactions or even deaths, well, they would pull that right off the market.
Yeah.
But here they've had over 1 million, and they're trying to cover it up. They don't want anybody to know that this is a dangerous vaccine.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, that is absurd. This is our own government, over 1 million vaccine adverse reactions. And they're trying to get more and more and children to get it.
Oh,
and
I
more,
know.
I mean, that is absolutely criminal.
Yeah. And children. And children have been the least impacted by this whole thing.
Yeah. Over a million reactions, and they're trying to cover it up.
Yeah.
Now, that is crazy.
And that's from
some of the countries have outlawed it.
Yeah. I have read that. And those adverse reactions range from death to blood clots to heart attacks to enlarged heart. Paralysis, I think, was one of them, and Bell's palsy. So it's a wide range of reactions, adverse reactions to the various COVID-19 vaccines. So would you encourage, if someone has to get the vaccine in order to keep their job, because even though the Supreme Court has struck down the mandates, except for health workers, would you encourage employees to get the COVID vaccine if they have to in order to keep their job?
No, I wouldn't, because you know what? You can get another job, but if you die, you can't get back to life.
You're right.
You've lost everything.
Absolutely.
So, and you know, there's plenty of jobs out here because the government's paying people not to work. So there's plenty of jobs available. And I definitely would not take it if it was me personally.
Right. That's my thought, too. I wouldn't. Too many questions about the vaccine, the COVID vaccines. They were pushed through too quickly. I know President Trump's warp speed, but there wasn't enough testing done. And my understanding, there's still testing going on. And I think thus they're using the American people as the guinea pigs for the testing.
Yeah.
And such. So, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate that. That's great to get the perspective from a medical doctor, because you're an internist. Internist, is that what you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
An allergy doctor. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I'm somebody's being forced to take that, I have a form that I fill out and sign it and send it to say, you cannot take that shot.
Okay. Like a medical exemption.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And how can they contact you?
Well,
go through the AFA.
One good way. This is area code 502-649-9330.
Okay.
If you call me, I'll try to email you one.
Okay.
And get you to help you, because that's my job, is to try to help you if I can.
Right. Yeah. And I'm hoping that this whole thing does not negatively impact doctors who care like you, and that they don't lump all the doctors in the same lump, so to speak, when it comes to lack of trust, because there are still good doctors out there, and you're a perfect example of that. So there are still a few out there. But again, thank you so much. And that phone number again is 502-649-9330 if you want to contact Dr. Simon. And I appreciate that. And the AFA Kentucky's website, I'm going to throw that out there too, is afaky.org if folks want to check into AFA of Kentucky. So again, thanks so much, and keep up the good work down there.
Okay, Diane. Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFA of PA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afaofpa.org.